Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now.
It is true.
All the wars.
It is true that there's no England anymore, and soon there will be no America anymore, as the animals of the left continue to try and take away free speech. This is a story I'm going to devote this entire show to, because your president, who is a crypto-fascist by any definition, tried to send police into newsrooms, police into radio rooms, to control what is said and what is not said, and they were caught and stopped for the moment. But remember this, they will never stop until they are stopped. At Harvard, a radical feminist who hates men said that free speech threatens liberalism and must be destroyed. She said that free speech on campus should be abolished and professors with dissenting views fired. Why? Because radical leftism is the only permissible political philosophy, and the First Amendment must go because it's a barrier to prevent modern colleges from fulfilling their proper role as teaching liberalism. I'm not making any of this up. This would be a parody. It would be funny. She's a woman, obviously a man-hating radical feminist who got in by bullying her way in. Her name is Sandra Korn. She's a senior at Harvard, no doubt, because she bullied her way to become senior at Harvard. And she writes for the once decent newspaper, the Harvard Crimson. And she said that the university should stop guaranteeing professors and students the right to hold controversial views. She should stop research, they should stop funding research that challenges liberalism. Listen what this psychotic said. If our university community opposes racism, sexism, and heterosexism, why should we put up with research that counts as our goals? Asked Sandra Korn. She said, let's give up on academic freedom in favor of justice. Now, I won't read you the rest of the story. It's in the Daily Caller. She also supported the academic boycott of Israel, something condemned even by Harvard President Drew Faust. She said that boycott of Israel is an example of the kind of tactics that leftists should defend and use in order to get their way on campus. So she hates intellectual freedom. She hates the First Amendment. There is nobody in radio today other than Michael Savage who wears the crown of free speech. Remember, I won the Talkers Magazine Freedom of Speech Award several years ago, soon after I was banned from entering Britain. And I'm going to play that speech for you in its entirety today. Now, I have to say a few things before I continue with the show. And that is, I'm right now suffering with a strep throat, and it sounds as though I've taken some medication, you know, when you take something to numb your jaw. Well, that's what my speech is like. The right side of my face isn't working right from some kind of stuff I put on the right side there. So forgive me, but my mind is functioning fine, and my spirit is as strong as ever, but my speech is a little off, so you'll have to forgive me. And people said, you know, rest, don't go on the air. I can't. This is too important. We're fighting for our survival. The communists, the fascists are everywhere. They're suppressing us. They're trying to destroy us. They want to take away our ability to speak. I'm not going to go down without a fight. Now, I want to read to you not only what this lowlife throwback from Harvard wrote, because we know where they come from. We know that they're fascists. We've always known that the liberals are fascists. We've always known that the oppressed minority, given the opportunity, would put a boot to our neck. I want to read to you from Winston Churchill. He said, we're confronted with another theme. It is not a new theme. It leaps out upon us from the dark ages. Racial persecution, religious intolerance, deprivation of free speech, the conception of the citizen as a mere soulless fraction of the state. And then he goes on. And I want you to hear this very carefully, those of you who are communists or socialists or leftists. You know in your heart that what I'm about to read to you is true. Churchill warned the world, and here's what he said. Like the communists, the Nazis tolerate no opinion but their own. Like the communists, they feed on hatred. Like the communists, they must seek from time to time and always at shorter intervals a new target, a new prize, a new victim. The dictator in all his pride is held in the grip of his party machine. He can go forward, he cannot go back. He must blood his hounds and show them sport, or else, like Actaeon of old, be devoured by them. All strong without, he is all weak within. As Byron wrote 100 years ago, these pagod things of saber sway with fronts of brass and feet of clay. That's where the phrase feet of clay comes from. Obama is that dictator. Obama is that man who looks like brass at front, but is made of feet of clay. He's all strong without, with his armies, with his minions, with his attacks upon freedoms, but he is weak within. But don't underestimate him. Listen to what Churchill warned you. No one must underrate the power and efficiency of a totalitarian state, where the whole population of a great country, amiable, good-hearted, peace-loving people, are gripped by the neck and by the hair by a communist or a Nazi tyranny, for they are the same things spelt in different ways. Did you hear what he just said? Those of you who think you're good because you're communist or socialist, you are the Nazi slime that we defeated in World War II, and you will be defeated again. You will be defeated again. The American people are a good people. They understand that you're Nazi slime. You may call yourself progressives. You may call yourself socialists. You're Nazi slime. And you're not going to win. You're going to lose. And he goes on. And he said, gripped by the neck, by the hair, or by a communist or a Nazi tyranny, for they are the same things, spelt in different ways. The rulers for the time being can exercise a power for the purposes of domination before which the ordinary free parliamentary societies are at a grievous practical disadvantage. We have to recognize this. And then on top of all comes this wonderful mastery of the air. And he goes on and talk about air power. And we'll stop right there. But the question I'm going to raise to you is, you the audience, how do you feel about Obama trying to put police into the newsrooms and the radio rooms? If it was not for one commissioner who stood up to that despicable creature put into the FCC by her despicable father in order to crush free speech, we would be living in a tyranny. That's where they were going. I want you to listen to Robert McDowell, a former FCC commissioner, on the FCC plan to walk back the monitoring of newsrooms. Let's start with clip number one on the Savage Nation.
This comes up every few years, this type of thing about the FCC or the government, either directly or indirectly in a backdoor way, trying to influence speech through the hook that the FCC has over radio and TV broadcasters and their licenses that get renewed by the FCC every 8 years. So as Commissioner Pai pointed out in his Wall Street Journal op-ed just last week, the FCC can put broadcasters out of business.
Did you hear that? Now you'll understand why Obama wants to control radio and print and the Internet, because we know who he is and what he is and what he intends to do. Now let's go jump to clip three, Neil. Go to three.
You know, politicians don't like to be criticized. They want to be seen in the most favorable light through the news media. And the FCC over the decades has been used by JFK and Richard Nixon to try to punish those outlets that they think are not showing them in a favorable light. So it's important to remain vigilant. I'm delighted that the FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, is starting to walk this back. But continue to remain vigilant, because there are other ways that the FCC or other agencies or Congress can try to make this happen.
That's right. And I told you that there are other ways they can make it happen. Did you hear what I just said to you? There's no England anymore. We know that there are free speech codes in England that have been used in order to suppress free speech. We know in Canada there's no free speech. These once great nations were infected by the salentarates called liberals, the spineless worms that crawl into the body politic and infect it with a virus that is fatal. And that virus is now in America. Obama and Holder are the progenitors of this virus of hate, this virus of absolute control and absolute tyranny. They are hollow men. They have clay of feet. They have feet of clay. They may look like they're immortal. They may look like they're made of brass, but remember what Churchill said. Never forget what Winston Churchill said. If we let these men succeed in their dire plans, they will drag us into 100 years of darkness. I want you to comment on this. The phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE. There are many other stories, but I'm not going to do anything else today for a couple of reasons. I told you I have a strep throat. I told you my voice is a little affected. You can hear it on the right side, not on the left side. And I'm going to do every broadcast now on this show as if it's my last. First of all, that's the way radio should be done anyway. Every radio show that anybody does in talk radio should be done as if it's their last show. Because tomorrow is in the hands of God, not in the hands of man. And so I will do this show, and I'll dedicate it to freedom of speech as though it is my last show. Now I'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Petri on KSFO in San Francisco. Petri, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. Regarding this subject of freedom of speech with the FCC, the answer is that you cannot retire, Michael. You're going to have to stay on the radio, like you said, until the day you die, until you breathe your last breath, until, you know, I'd love to step up to the microphone and be on the air. I'm not as articulate as you and fantastic in the words that you...
Well, I didn't say I'm leaving radio. I just said I have a strep throat and I have medication, which is affecting my speech. I mean, let's not get carried away here. But the thing is, I've also said that we're under assault from every level by this fascist dictatorship pretending to be good and kind liberals. They are fascists through the core of themselves, and they know it, and everybody who has a brain knows it. Everyone who has more than an 80 IQ knows that they're fascists. You don't have to just see it in their attempts to take over the press and the radio business. Everything they do is from the playbook of fascism or Nazism. Thank you for the call. KSFO, again, we're getting great calls out of my local market for some reason. We got good calls out of the East Coast, West Coast, North Coast, South Coast, Gulf Coast, your coast, my coast, and I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Well, you know, the best way for the FCC to find out what's being broadcast is to turn on the radio or the TV, rather than sending contractors, essentially agents of the government, into newsrooms, questioning reporters, questioning producers about why did they run a certain story, why did they kill a certain story.
All the stories have been told of kings and days of old, but there's no income.
We are on the dawn of 100 years of darkness under this administration. Many of you know it, many of you don't. Externally, the Islamists are on the march because of Obama's weakness and inability to engage them. In Nigeria, the Islamists invaded a Christian school in Nigeria, tied up the boys, slit their throats, and set their school on fire because they were Christians. Slit the throats of the boys and set their school on fire in Nigeria. That's radical Islam. In Northeast Africa's biggest oil-producing nation, we are doing nothing. In America, the government, instead of focusing all of its vast resources on stopping this scourge of Islamic terrorism, is encouraging a local form of terrorism, which is the suppression of the opposition at all costs. They have clay feet, but boy, are they powerful, because they have no opposition, but for the few people left in the media who dare talk about who they are, and what they are doing. Now you understand why they want to crush us. They've crushed the Republican Party. It doesn't exist anymore. You know that, don't you? You know about old Boehner? All they do is throw him a new bottle of bourbon and help him buy a condo somewhere in Florida. They dummied him up. Cantor, a stale bagel. You couldn't even give that bagel away. Cantor, the big mouth. You couldn't even sell it. It's not even a day-old bagel. Tell me who is opposing this fascist regime on the most fundamental level. Who? Who's standing up there in the front lines against this fascist regime on the most fundamental level? The very people that they want suppressed. The few internet outlets that dare report their dastardly behavior and policies. The few radio shows that they're talk about what they are actually doing as opposed to giving out government propaganda with a smile face. The few TV outlets, and I include Fox in that, who occasionally will stand up to the tyranny of this regime. There's no one else. Do you understand that we're on the verge, on the brink of 100 years of darkness, if these people are not stopped? Now, they've been stopped. They've been stopped for a while, but not for a long while. Let's go to some of the callers on this and other topics. 855-407-282. Howard on WBAP in the great state of Texas. Howard, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to alert your listeners to this story breaking on the AP about the two ex-Navy SEALs on that Alabama boat supposedly dying from overdose of heroin. It sounds...
It's a total lie. Absolute lie. They made it up. Somebody put drugs in that room. When I read that, the minute I read it, I knew it was somebody killed him and threw the drugs in that in that stateroom. I went to dinner with an ex-Navy SEAL the other night. We talked about it Sunday night. I said, this is somebody killed him and then threw the drugs in that room. Do you agree with me?
Absolutely. As a former military officer, this really stinks to high heaven. It really...
That's correct. Well, my suspicion on that one is that whoever it was let the Islamists onto that boat, who then killed him and threw the drugs in there. And to smear both the Navy SEALs and also, of course, to kill them for having saved the Alabama Maersk from those vermin.
It may not even have been Islamists. It may have been a someone locally directed, in my opinion.
But what, when you say locally directed, what, give me a generic.
I'm talking about your government.
Well, why would the U.S. government want to kill these SEALs and smear their reputation?
For the same reason that they killed the ones aboard that helicopter.
So you think they're trying to take out the entire SEAL, the whole concept of an elite unit?
I don't know, but in this day...
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Yeah, they need to... I'm sorry, they need to homogenize the military. What am I thinking? In order to make sure that women can compete and those who can't compete can be seen as equal, of course, it's like the women they take in the fire department who can't climb a ladder or carry a hose. What am I thinking? Homogenization.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation.
Oh, how modern that is. So computer literate. So Twitter-like. So BlackBerry-ish. So with it.
Hot Talk 560.
Under the public interest standard that the FCC is chartered to carry out, whatever that means, broadcasters have to serve their communities of license in the public interest. And so some really run with that concept to say, oh, and so the government should be controlling speech because we know what speech is best for these communities, and therefore we're going to have some sway over it. And that's actually absolutely contrary to the First Amendment. I don't think it would stand up if it went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Right. So freedom of speech is under attack in America at some of America's worst universities, such as Harvard. Harvard was once an institution of higher learning. With the advent of liberalism as a religion, philosophy, Harvard has become an institution of lower living. And so deviants of all stripes are put on the enter list. It's like Studio 54. The more deviant you are, the more leftist you are, the quicker you are granted entry into the Studio 54 of universities, which is Harvard University. The more upright you are, the more like a Eagle Scout you look like, the less the chance is that you will get into Harvard University and the other so-called Ivy institutions. Do not send your children to these cesspools. If you want your child to get a good education, you'd be better off sending them to a state college than sending them to these perverted cesspools, which will brainwash your child and ruin them for life. I don't understand how people don't know what these schools have become, but I've made my point. Here we have a radical feminist named Sandra Korn. God only knows what parents she had. What a blasphemy she is to these parents, in my opinion. She's a senior at Harvard, a columnist for the Harvard Crimson, and she writes that free speech threatens liberalism and must be destroyed. She said, let's give up on academic freedom in favor of justice. Why should we put up with research that counters our goals if we oppose racism, sexism, and heterosexism, she wrote. She also is happy that they fired a Harvard summer school instructor who was dismissed because of his anti-Islamist views. She's happy with that. How long have I told you that feminists, radical feminists, who you would think would be the natural enemy of Islamists, are actually their greatest ally? How long have I told you that the radical homosexual community, which should be the natural enemy of Islamism, is actually their greatest friend in America? You haven't been able to put the pieces together. You can't follow the dots, but I can. So they reject intellectual freedom. But this is not limited to this throwback. They all reject intellectual freedom. This is common among all left-wing activists at institutions of lower learning. Last week, a woman, if you want to call it that, Erin Ching, a so-called sophomore at so-called Swarthmore, took a similar view when she criticized Swarthmore for committing the unforgivable crime of allowing a conservative Christian thinker, Robert George, to debate the throwback on campus, one of the throwbacks on campus. He was invited to debate one of the goon throwbacks that is a regular on the left-wing shows. And she said, what really bothered me is the whole idea is that at a liberal arts college, we need to be hearing a diversity of opinion. She said, I don't think we should be tolerating George's conservative views because that dominant culture embeds these deep inequalities in our society. All crap, all liberal platitudes, a brainwashed moron who in my time would have been cleaning toilets, not invited to Swarthmore. She would have had a brush in her hand and cleaned toilets for the rest of her life, because that's all she's fit for, in my opinion. But unfortunately, they're running these universities today. And so, as I say, you've got a government run by them, you've got academia run by them, you've got the media run by them, and the few of us who stand up to these throwback tyrants are now seen as the enemy of the state. And so they try to break into the radio rooms and the newsrooms with thought police. Well, they were stopped now, but they're not stopped for tomorrow. They're not stopped because let me tell you something that you don't know. A couple of years back, when there was talk being bandied about imposing the so-called fairness doctrine, do you know which Republicans joined their Democrat colleagues to try to propose the fairness doctrine? Can anyone listening to this show call this program and give me their names, because I remember some of them. They were very big in the conservative movement, and they wanted to join the Democrats in banning free speech on the radio with the fairness doctrine. I'll give out a free copy of Trickle-Down Tyranny or Train Tracks to those who can name at least one Republican who was in favor of the fairness doctrine, because both parties want us silenced. Do you think that John Clink Boehner wants me to criticize him? Do you think Eric the Bagel Cantor wants me to be able to criticize him with sarcasm and satire? And don't forget that sarcasm and satire are what I use in my broadcasts. Primarily sarcasm and satire. They're both very high art forms that have been lost on the average consumer, and it's almost impossible to learn. You need to have been steeped in sarcasm and satire from childhood in order to do it right. It's almost impossible to do right and very easy to do wrongly. And so let's take a few calls on this. I think Robert on WML in Washington knows what I'm talking about. Robert, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
It's nice to talk to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're sitting here to me, and there can no longer be any doubt that we're watching the suspension of the Constitution. And every one of these politicians, including all these so-called Republicans, but they're all in cahoots with it. They're all sitting on their hands watching the Constitution be suspended. They're complicit in it. And at some point, we the people, have to get off of our hands and do something about it ourselves.
Tell me what we the people can do. I ask myself, where is the American spring we're all waiting for? I mean, Obama's stirring up the entire world. Why not this world? 60% of the people hate this man. They can read right through him. They know what he is.
There's no.
Where's the uprising in America? When are we going to demand that this man be impeached? When the heck are we going to demand that Eric Holder be impeached? When is it going to happen? Well, it happened. I've got good news for everyone listening to the show. Take a guess which group came out and are demanding the impeachment of Eric Holder. Guess what? A coalition of black pastors announced on Tuesday at the National Press Club in Washington that they're launching a campaign to gather 1 million signatures on a petition calling for the impeachment of Attorney General Eric Holder for violating his oath of office by, quote, trying to coerce states to fall in line with the same-sex marriage agenda. And they are doing it. These are black pastors, the last group on earth that Obama would ever expect to move to impeach his attorney general. Did you hear what I just said to you? It's not white evangelicals. It's black pastors. They've had enough. They've said that political leaders in Washington have not held Holder accountable. And they want him impeached. They said that marriage is an institution that benefits all of society. Therefore, every citizen has an interest in protecting marriage from these brazen attacks. And he went on, and he's urging, I'm quote now, I urge you to bring impeachment against Eric Holder for his reckless attempts to undermine our state's constitutional marriage laws and for the voices and values of millions of voters, the petition says. So there is a movement to impeach Eric Holder, and it's coming from black pastors. Now, that's a tough one for these individuals running America to fight. They can't call them racist, can they? Well, they can do it. Can they call black pastors racist for wanting to impeach Holder? Well, that's a tough one. I don't know what they can call them, but they can't call them racist. Or can they? I'm sure they can twist the law to say that although they're black, they're really not black, that somehow they're really not black because they're not upholding the values of the average African-American, so therefore you should dismiss their viewpoint. But watch what's happening now. It's starting. They've lost their grip. Look, Holder and Obama have lost their lock grip on the American public. I can see it cracking. I can see it everywhere I turn. I can see it here. I can see it there. Remember, there are very good men and very good women still left in most of the institutions of government. They have not yet purged every institution. It's true that they've purged the military of all combat commanders who would have stood up to them. That's worrisome. It's true that Obama nuked the command of the nuclear arsenals. They're gone. He took them all out. He started with a general on false charges of drinking too much in Russia. I was shocked at that. I was shocked at the lie. I mean, you could see right through this, right out of the Soviet era. Well, he took out the generals. We have no nuclear command, so far as I know. The media has been silenced because they were geldings from the get-go. Tell me when the major media was not gelded. They were gelded from the day I started radio. They were already gelded. They were already geldings of the government media complex. 1998, I gave a speech. We were the government media complex. Michael Savage, 1998, Commonwealth Club. So the major media was never their problem. Okay, so now they're going after the few and far between who are standing up to them. And this is not over. They're just beginning. They're going to do everything they can to make certain that independent voices are crushed completely. Look, the time is speeding along, and I meant to do the Freedom of Speech Award that I gave, and I don't know the year. Neil, is it on the log? Does anyone know the date? It should be here somewhere. I don't know. I have to look into it. It wasn't that long ago, but I was given the Talkers Magazine Freedom of Speech Award. It was shortly after I was banned for entering Britain. And I'm proud to tell you I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to enter that fine nation. Not because... When was it? 07. Not one person in the media stood by me. All of the people who now tout themselves as great champions of free speech, actually, I'm going to expose this when the right time comes. One of the individuals who touts himself as a great proponent and champion of free speech and as a conservative actually went on the air and said, I'm glad that Michael Savage was banned in Britain. And he poses as a constitutionalist, an expert on the Constitution. He got on the radio and he said, good, I'm glad he was banned. He deserved to be banned. When the time is right, we'll get that soundbite, just so you know who's really real here. I got to tell you something. If you think that people who wrap themselves in the Constitution and Ben Franklin are on your side, you may be mistaken, my friend. All is not that layer cake. Sometimes there's a something inside that layer cake that you didn't expect. But we'll do that at another time. We're going to wait. We're going to hold our fire. I'm going to take some more calls here on this program, and then we're going to play that Freedom of Speech Award. We got a lot to cover today. We know the song There's No England Anymore by the Kinks is a great song. When will the song be written There's No America Anymore? Or will that never be written? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
We have a few winners of the contest today on the Savage Nation. I've asked for the names of the Republicans who were in favor of the Fairness Doctrine, and we have, I think, people who remember them. But now, in the next hour, we're going to run another contest. If anyone can name the phony talk show host who claims to be a conservative, wraps himself in the Constitution as often as people use toilet paper for his own ends, who went on the air after I was banned in Britain and said it's good that they banned him in Britain, and now poses as an advocate of conservatism and of free speech, you'll get a bigger prize. But you have to prove that it's that person and actually quote it. So let's take a few calls here. WMAL, Donna, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I was thinking in terms of, you know, they recycle themselves, these Republicans. Who comes to mind would be Lindsey Graham, Mystique.
Okay, hold on. Donna, this is not what I wanted, and my call screen didn't do you or me a service. I don't want guesses. I don't want calling and naming people who didn't back the Fairness Doctrine, because then I'd be accused of doing something that they're doing. I want the actual names of the Republicans who wanted the Fairness Doctrine, not who you think. So let's move that aside until we give you the actual names. Do you know for sure who they were? WMAL, Rodney, are you sure McCain was on that list? You're not sure.
Yes.
Rodney, you think it was McCain?
Yes.
Well, you see, he's guessing again. We can't have guesses. WJR, Daniel, welcome to the program. Daniel, welcome to the program. Okay, gone. KSFO, Tommy, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Dissident, this is caller Dissident. I will always dissent against these left-wing radical communists. My point is, I want to make a comment first before I get to my point. I was watching a military war movie this weekend, and I had the feeling, the thought that the military was coming after me because I have no faith in the political leaders in this country. I have no faith in the military leaders in this country. But
all right. Well, let's put aside your fears. What is your main point?
My main point is that the First Amendment saved us from the FCC, and the Second Amendment that these old 56 white guys came up with. All these radicals, they don't realize that these guys are saving the country. The country would have been rolled over by now with this.
Whoa! You see, but you're making one fundamental error in your thinking. They want the country rolled over. You see, when you watch movies of World War II, which are very important, the documentaries, and you see that after France was liberated by the Americans and the Russians, the French people had a certain surprise in store for the collaborators. The women who slept with the Nazis had their hair shaved so people would know that they were slime. The men were beaten in the street with sticks, the Nazi collaborators. Some of them were killed on the spot. What you don't seem to understand is that we have collaborators with Islamism and fascism operating in our nation today. They are working for the enemy. Anyone who's against free speech is a Nazi or communist collaborator. They're naked about it. They're so brazen in their belief system that they don't even hide it anymore. Why? Because the power structure is on their side. Do you think that that low-class girl at Harvard doesn't believe that the president of her university and on downward, or let's say the dean, let's go up to the dean level, they're all of the same cut. They're all from the same low-life background. That's how they get into the university. That's how they stay in there. Now, I'm not talking about the medical departments. I'm not talking about the science departments. I'm talking about the social sciences are filled with these intellectual midgets. So they're brazen because they know that their office is in power. 855-407-282, Savage Nation, still here, still there, still everywhere. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome back to part two this Tuesday. We're talking about Obama and Holder wanting to crush free speech. We're talking about which Republicans would like free speech curtailed in America. We all know that all the Democrat socialists want free speech curtailed because we criticize them for their policies and their acts of corruption. And the fact of the matter is there are Republicans who have joined them. Just as there are fake conservative broadcasters who wrap themselves in the Constitution and Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson who called for me being banned in Britain and gloated over it when I was banned in Britain and now claim to be great advocates of free speech. Boy, will they be shown for what they are. One day you'll find out that everything I've told you should be no surprise to you. But now from Harvard, calling free speech a threat to liberalism and must be stopped. That's Harvard, the daily one of the daily newspapers there, the Crimson. Writer Sandra Korn, radical feminist, as you would expect. They're the ones who manned the concentration camps in Hitler's Germany. I know that's one big sweeping statement. Just check it out. Check out who the matrons were in Auschwitz. And you'll see a few familiar faces. The clip-haired, mean face look. Get the picture? Yeah, they wielded the batons, but you don't understand that yet. You don't understand a thing about all of this, do you? Those who scream the loudest about freedom and oppression will oppress you and take your freedoms away faster than I could say Jack Daniels, and I don't drink the stuff. Now, if you have evidence that global warming is a scam, if you have evidence that the global warming industry is a scam, they're calling you a denier. And they want you to be curtailed in your ability to present any evidence. That is whether it's at a university or in the media. They want it squashed. It's the opposite of freedom of speech, the opposite of science. And the fact of the matter is we're on the cusp of 100 years of darkness in this nation. And the only people standing up to this clique of fascists right now are black pastors. Oh, there are voices of opposition to this clique. But it came out today, a huge coalition of black pastors announced today at the National Press Club. Do we have sound on that yet? That they're launching a campaign to gather 1 million signatures calling for the impeachment of AG Eric Holder. And they're black, obviously. They're black pastors. Now, I understand the administration will try to call it racism. The immediate reaction will be the knee-jerk liberal reaction to say anyone who opposes Holder is a racist. So they'll go down to their first script, first item on the script card and say, this is racism. Then they'll say to the girl who writes that, say, no, honey, you can't say that because they're black pastors. Well, they can't really be black. Any black who opposes Attorney General Holder is by definition not black. So they're not people of color. They're fake blacks. They're not real blacks. So no, they are racist by definition. How many years have I told you on this program, those of you who have been listening to me for years, that when an Hispanic is no longer useful to the liberal, he loses his ethnicity. When a Jewish person is no longer useful to the liberal agenda, he is no longer of any use whatsoever to the liberals. When an African, etc., go down the list. In other words, whenever a minority, so-called, ceases to be a useful idiot of the radical leftist machine, they are denuded of their ethnicity. Did you know that? So I know more about freedom of speech than anybody in the media today because I'm the only one who's been cauterized and paid a penalty for it. The rest are just giving you lip service. Good for them, I'm glad. But they're all free to go to England for the fabulous dental care and the super cuisine of England. I can't. As much as I would like to go to England and partake of their dental service and eat the great cuisine that they're famous for, I cannot enter that nation. The closest I could get to is Ireland. But having said that, I want you to also understand how serious this business really is. Freedom of speech is a rather new phenomenon. This was not something that was very common in the world, even in the Western world, until rather recently. Freedom of speech is perhaps the most important freedom that we have. And right now, Obama and Holder and the minions want to crush it by putting police in newsrooms and radio rooms. You could say, oh, well, I'm making a big deal of it. It was stopped. Yeah, I'll make a big deal of it until that woman on the FCC is fired and she is investigated. I will not relent until that woman on the FCC who tried to do this, the daughter of that congressman from one of the Carolinas, whose name is Clyburn, until Ms. Clyburn is investigated, I will not relent. I want a congressional panel to investigate Clyburn's background. I want them to investigate the organization she was using to police the newsrooms and see where their money has come from and where it's gone. And if $10 is missing, if $10 was spent on a hamburger that was not supposed to be spent, I want their nonprofit status pulled. I want justice in this country. I will not relent until this is stopped. Now, we've come to this point because most of us have done nothing. Now, which Republicans, though, joined the Democrats is the question for this hour. I don't actually remember all of them. I know that one of them was from Mississippi. He wore a nice suit. He looked like Clark Kent. He's now a lobbyist, I think, for taxes or something like that. He was a big, big, powerful guy for a big Republican. I don't know. I forget his name, but I know he was one of them. Pelosi wants the Fairness Doctrine returned. Did you know that? She wants the Fairness Doctrine returned. Why wouldn't Pelosi want it? Why wouldn't Representative Slaughter of New York, if she's still around, want it? In other words, the lower they are, the higher they are on the fascism scale. See, the lower they are in terms of human behavior and policies, the higher they are on wanting to crush free speech. But there are those in the Republican Party who would love it just as well. They would love it just as well. I don't have the names of all the Republicans, but you can pretty much guarantee yourself one thing. Many of them would love us to be silenced so they can just go along and get along. It's that simple, and retire to their condos on the west coast of Florida and drink themselves into eternity. Now, without any further ado, there's only one member of the American media who won the Freedom of Speech Award who was actually banned from a nation and was supported by nobody in the radio business. Actually, there was one person in radio that I know of who stood up for me, and that was Laura Ingraham. I don't know of any others. There may have been a few other people, and God bless them for doing so. But by and large, although I was banned, I'm the only member of the American media not allowed to enter Britain for comments I did not even make. It was a kangaroo court of spliced sounds that the English used, the British used, and it was all socialist liberal types in the Labour Party who did this to me. And you would have said, wow, how come they didn't rally around Savage? How come? Because they were glad. Because I was a competitor to them, and they're only in it for the business anyway. Trent Locke, that's it. There's a winner. Hold on. Jared in Salt Lake City, you're a winner. Give us the name. The Hall of Shame. Who was it?
Senator Trent Lott, Dr. Savage. Senator.
How do you remember that despicable character wanted the Fairness Doctrine?
Voices like yours.
But why do you remember that?
Because I love my country and I recognize the enemy when I saw it. I've never forgotten that.
Where is Trent Lott right now? Does anybody know? Is he still working on something?
Don't know. I guarantee you he's working.
I guarantee he's working against the interests of America. Would you like a free copy of Train Tracks or of Trickle Down Tyranny?
Train Tracks, please.
You got it. Stay on the line. You got to stay on the line. Now, without further ado, we got to start here, Republican Trent Lott. There's one. He said talk radio is running America, so he wanted it. Who else was on that list? Was he the main one? Feinstein? Of course Feinstein. We were talking about her and her wonderful husband and their patriotic ways. How did Feinstein, who was a mayor of San Francisco, become the most powerful woman in the U.S. Senate? And how is it that she's in charge of the Senate Armed Services Committee? And how is it that her husband has had defense contracts over the years? And how is it that their fortunes have grown while she's been on this committee? I'm not saying there's any relationship whatsoever. As we well know, there would absolutely be no question about it that she wouldn't steer any contracts to her husband's companies. You know that they're absolutely as pure as the driven snow. But it's very curious to me that there's not been any investigation of this in years, other than by the LA Times, who raised the question many years ago while it was still a relatively independent newspaper. I want to do this. I'm the only member of the radio world who actually won a Freedom of Speech Award for having suffered as a result of my speech, instead of just talked about it. So let's, without further ado, begin the speech I gave that was granted to me in 07 by Talkers Magazine shortly after I, Michael Savage, was banned from entering Britain for things I didn't even actually say. Listen to clip number 5. Radio is in a more perilous state today than it's been in its entire history. And that is because in South America we have the dictator Hugo Chavez closing down an opposition TV station. Well, you say, well, that can't happen here. It can't happen here? As I speak with you, it is happening here. Congressman Hinchey of New York State, Fazio of Oregon, and others are circulating a bill in Congress for the so-called Fairness Doctrine. What it means is people such as Michael Savage will no longer be able to speak freely. Is that any different than Chavez closing down a TV station? Is that not dictatorship, the Fairness Doctrine? Of course it is. It's just that we use fancy rhetoric in this country as opposed to police power. But make no mistake about it. The Fairness Doctrine is censorship, and it has no place in the United States of America. Now, let me give you some examples, if I may, about the power of freedom of speech and talk radio. Al Gore, for example, in my opinion, lies when he preaches that all scientists now agree that global warming is caused by human activity. If I refute Gore's lies on the airwaves by quoting numerous prominent scientists who refute Gore's hysterical con, I am using freedom of speech granted to us by the United States Constitution to do so. If radical environmental folks were to make it a crime to deny global warming, you've heard that. They say they want to make it a crime to deny global warming. Such refutations as mine and those of prominent scientists would be banished from the discussion. By the way, I'm reading my own script. I wrote this in Los Angeles. I don't have a teleprompter. That's freedom of speech. I remember the 1960s when true liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. When have you last heard a liberal say, oh, I may disagree with conservative talk radio, but I would fight to the death their right to say what they believe in? I don't hear that anymore. What instead I hear is, they're threats to national security. That was stated on the congressional floor by Congressman Hinchey. He says, I'm a threat to national security, and he's trying to pass the so-called Fairness Doctrine to close down freedom of speech. Is that liberalism? Liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, Michael Savage, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. That's what this country has been about from the day it was founded. That's the trail of tears and the trail of blood that led to the freedoms that we enjoy in this country today. And we cannot permit a few small-minded martinets who don't even know that they're inhabiting the souls of dictatorships in Congress right now to deny us our freedom of speech. Where are the true good liberals?
I want to define satire, ridicule, and sarcasm for those of you who love talk radio. Satire is the use of irony, sarcasm, ridicule, or the like in exposing, denouncing, or deriding vice, folly, etc. What is ridicule? We use it on talk radio all the time if we know how. It is speech or action intended to cause contemptuous laughter at a person or thing. Derision. Derision, my friends, is ridicule. That's part of freedom of speech. And finally, sarcasm should be used all the time if you know how to do it. What is sarcasm? Harsh or bitter derision or irony. A sharply ironical taunt, sneering or cutting remark, a review full of sarcasms. That's freedom of speech, my friends.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So we have a temporary victory in stopping Obama's sort of a Gestapo from entering the newsrooms and the radio rooms. Yet from Harvard to Washington, we hear that free speech is threatening liberalism and must be destroyed. Now, you heard a piece of my Freedom of Speech Award speech a few minutes ago, and when we come back, I'll play the rest of it because it's actually a seminal speech that's worth listening to. But we have a surprise caller. This young man, Josh, is calling from Cambridge, Mass. He claims he's a columnist for the Harvard Crimson, and I'm curious what he has to say about this creature who wrote this a screed that free speech must be destroyed. Josh, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Honored to speak to you, Dr. Savage. Grew up listening to you, and my father called me from New York to say that he was tuned into the program and heard you talking about Sandra Korn, who I know pretty well and write for The Crimson with. You know, I'm not a conservative per se, but by Harvard standards, I'm right of center. I'm a fanatic about free speech. So, everything you're saying today is right on.
Oh, that's right. Liberals of the classic variety used to say, I may not agree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. Unfortunately, the liberal breed of today would say, I may not agree with you, but drop dead, we want to kill you.
Well, let me put it this way. I agree that that's a problem, it's a big strand today, but I will say that Sandra's brand of leftism is still very fringe on this campus. And Harvard's a very liberal place, overwhelmingly Democratic campus.
Okay, well, what is this creature major in? What's her major? Feminist studies, I would imagine?
She studies women and gender studies.
Oh, I'm so surprised. You mean she didn't get in a chemical engineering scholarship?
Actually, she happens to be brilliant.
They're all brilliant. Yeah, they're brilliant.
In any case, right?
They're all brilliant, right. They're all brilliant. In my day, she would have been running a brassiere store on Union Turnpike and shooting off a loudmouth. But thanks for the call. I'm glad you're at Harvard. I'm glad you could surprise. Churchill, no socialist government conducting the entire life of industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo. No doubt very humanely directed in the first instance, he wrote. And this would nip opinion in the bud. It would stop criticism, Nancy, as it reared its head. You get it? They're fascists! Wake up!
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth. First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth. What do they actually mean to you? Well, what they mean is everything. Without them, you're nothing. If you lose your soul by losing your freedoms, you're nothing. You're a cog in a wheel. Put it any way you want. You're just a neutron. You're not even an atom. And so if you want to retain your humanity, you have to retain your independence of thinking, your independence of ability to speak, to write as you wish, to challenge authority. What's ironic here, there's so many ironies, it's hard to begin, is that the liberal credos of the 70s used to see bumper stickers, question authority. So now if you question authority, they want to silence you. Because they're the authority, just as we all knew it would come to this. But again, I want to go back to something, which was the Freedom of Speech Award that I was granted in 2007 by Talkers Magazine when I was at another time slot on another network. And many of you heard the speech. And the reason I was given the award by Talkers is because I was the only member of the American media who was, and still is the only member, banned from entering Britain. And virtually no one came to my aid except Laura. In fact, people who pose as liberal freedom, what they pose as, who cares what they pose as? Some of the loudest voices in the media today, in radio, who claim to be conservatives, actually went on the air and said they were glad that I was banned in Britain. And I will curse them with their own words. I will hang them by their own petard. As was said to me by an Irish friend many years ago in a bar, what's the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? I said, I don't know. As I sipped on my Guinness, he said, they're enemies. Well, I laughed at that. Now, I've used it in other places. With my Italian friends, I said to them, hey, Lorenzo, what's the last thing an Italian with Alzheimer's forgets? He said, I don't know. I said his enemies. You get a laugh at it. You could try it. It works. Jewish, Romanian, Polish, Romanian, Ukrainian, Russian, Slobovian, lower Slobovian, upper Slobovian, poodle, Danish. It doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is, I will never forget my enemies, especially those who pose as your conservative leaders. Never. They're the most dangerous. I warn you, we know who the liberals are. They're bad enough. But what do you make of a conservative who wraps himself every day like a foul-mouthed Trotskyite in Brooklyn in the 1940s with a bad Robert Hall suit with a tuna fish stain on the lapel? What do you make of a man like that who said he's glad that I was banned by Britain and now poses as a great hero of freedom of speech? Well, we'll find out as time goes on who that is. We will play his own words, and I'll let the chips fall where they may. But in 2007, I won the Freedom of Speech Award, and I want to finish it up now. It's 3 minutes long. I think it's a very important speech, so Neil, please play it.
I want to define satire, ridicule, and sarcasm for those of you who love talk radio. Satire is the use of irony, sarcasm, ridicule, or the like in exposing, denouncing, or deriding vice, folly, etc. What is ridicule? We use it on talk radio all the time if we know how. It is speech or action intended to cause contemptuous laughter at a person or thing. Derision. Derision, my friends, is ridicule. That's part of freedom of speech. And finally, sarcasm should be used all the time if you know how to do it. What is sarcasm? Harsh or bitter derision or irony. A sharply ironical taunt, sneering or cutting remark, a review full of sarcasms. That's freedom of speech, my friends.
When I offend doctrinaire knee-jerk Republicans, yes, I don't limit my criticism to the Democrats or the liberals. When I offend doctrinaire knee-jerk Republicans by pointing out that there are now more contractors than U.S. soldiers in Iraq, whose freedoms am I denying? The freedoms of the military-industrial complex to rob the public? The freedoms of the warmongers who refuse to either win definitively or leave? Eisenhower warned us, beware the military-industrial complex. I've played that on my show over and over again. Who am I criticizing, Democrats or Republicans? I'll let you decide. When I state that our Army and Marine heroes are being sent in to fight door-to-door and suffer and die, and then be given court-martials if they do their job a little too well, because Bush is either the most, I don't know, hesitant or incompetent commander-in-chief in the United States history? Whose freedoms am I denying? President Bush said he will not have politicians telling our generals how to conduct a war. Well, I wonder, is he not a politician telling generals how to conduct a war? No war has ever been conducted like this. And when I call illegal aliens invaders who must be forced to deport themselves, and I present the social and fiscal drain of this invading army of illegal aliens, whose freedoms am I denying? Who am I offending? The doctrinaire knee-jerk Republicans or the Democrats? Probably both. When I, Michael Savage, support my position for borders, language, and culture, do I deny my fellow citizens their rights to redress their grievances to a government all too eager to continue to flood our nation with cheap laborers? When I present the fact that 30% or one of three prisoners in federal lockups is an illegal alien who doesn't belong here to begin with, do I deny or do I grant my fellow U.S. citizens their right to speak freely through me, a talk show host? When I detail the epidemic of drunk driving and vehicular homicides being inflicted on this country by brazen illegal aliens who are deported only to return and drive drunk again, drive and kill again, I surely do not deny my fellow Americans their freedom of speech or their right to redress their grievances, do I? So whose rights am I offending? Certain special interests, I would assume. Well, that's not my problem. If these and other like opinions of mine were mine alone, I would not have risen to this position I now enjoy in the world of the spoken and written word. In fact, I am the voice of the voiceless.
who have been marginalized and silenced by the illiberal liberals who control virtually all avenues of images and ideas that the world sees. All the images and ideas, with the limited exception of conservative talk radio, the most vulnerable medium, now under attack by the new National Socialists, who would ban free speech that they disagree with by threatening corporate sponsors through extortionist means of false boycotts, using different techniques, but wanting to achieve the same ends as all dictatorships, such as Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. That is total control of speech, which is the opposite of freedom of speech. In conclusion, I would like to introduce you to the most important critic that I have ever had. And his name is Teddy. Teddy, of course, is my constant companion. And just as in the RCA ad, I am not his master's voice, but I think he is my master's voice. Teddy, the most famous dog in American talk radio, possibly challenged only by Barney, the presidential dog, number one. But I think that Teddy is number one to me.
Savage.
Well, we'll have to revise it and take out Barney and put in Bo. But the thing is, that was given in 07 by Talkers Magazine to thank me for standing up for freedom of speech when I was on radio in a different time slot. Nevertheless, here we are today. So again, freedom of speech is under assault. And I thought I should play the speech in case you've forgotten it. And if you like it, we're giving it to you for free. We're putting it up in the top right of michaelsavage.com in the next hour or so as an MP3, which can be downloaded. It will not be seen on any other site because I am the unwanted. I am the outcast in the media. I have no friends on the internet. I have no friends in radio. I have no friends in television. But I have millions of friends who listen to this program across this country. Let's go to the callers. Let's change the topic a bit. Maybe you're bored of freedom of speech. I'm never bored of it. I'll take calls on any other topic, okay? And again, please forgive me if my energy is a little off and my voice is a little different. It's because I have a slight, strep throat and medication. It's throwing me off a little bit. And it's affecting my speech to a certain extent. So I still wanted to come on the air because I think this is the greatest place on earth for me. And I know many of you count on my show every day. So what was I going to do, lay in bed? I just didn't want to stay in bed. I get better by working than by not working, generally. But I may need a rest tomorrow for one day to rest my voice. All right, Shane on KSFO, welcome to the program. Hi. Shane, go ahead, please. Shane, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for having me. My fiance and I listen in all the time, and you're kind of a conservative hero of ours. We agree with almost everything you say, but we kind of find it ironic that you believe in Christianity, even though you're extremely logical.
Well, I don't believe in Christianity. First of all, I'm Jewish by birth. I believe in God. That's number one. But what you're saying is, how can I believe in God if I'm so intelligent?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
Yeah, to a raw extent, that's my question, yeah.
All right, so let's go to a few of the reasons. First of all, God has touched me in my own life several times in the darkest of moments, and I can't believe it was just chance. That's number one. And I reach God through prayer. That's number one. Number two, let's go to a more brilliant mind than any I've ever read about. That's Albert Einstein. In his last years, he said that the farther out that he goes to plumb the depths of the universe, the more he's convinced there's a creator. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for me. And finally, there was another seminal moment in my religious wanderings. It was about 10 years ago or so. I was walking in San Francisco, and I used to talk to different people. I still do. I talked to a homeless guy because although he looked like the typical homeless guy, he was cleaner than most. His clothing was clean, although he was disheveled. He had a backpack, long white hair, a man in his 60s, blue eyes, and we started to talk. His name was Moses. So I got to know Moses a little bit, and I talked with him for about 2 hours, and I drove Moses to he asked me to drive him on the Highway 280 in San Francisco and drop him off. I had asked Moses in the street, "Do you believe in God?" And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said to me, "How do you think I got here?" He said, "Who put you there?" And, you know, I realized at that moment he cut through all of the logical barriers to the ultimate conclusion. Do you think that we just emerged from a worm? I mean, how do you think we got here? I'm asking you that, Shane. How do you think we got here?
I would go for there is not an answer that we know of yet. I think, you know, we could have come from some kind of interbreeding with another species. We could have come from germs that came from different asteroids, anything. I don't want to sit back and just accept any answer that comes my direction.
I understand. I know a man who's a neurophysiologist, a very famous one who I run into occasionally on a walk. And he stopped me the other day, oddly enough, and he said to me, do you believe in God? He said, I don't know how religious you are. I said, well, what do you believe? And he said, I believe that when our brain stops working, there's nothing left. Now, he's a neurophysiologist, so he would believe that, wouldn't he?
That's what I agree with. I think it's the same as before we're born, you know?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not here to convert you to any belief system. It doesn't really matter to me, as long as you leave me alone and let me worship the way I want to or not worship. But what I found is that religious people are, in my experience, some of the best people I've ever met. People who actually have faith in God and the Bible generally are the people who would not step over you if you were fallen in the street. I'm pretty convinced that atheists would step over you if you were fallen in the street, because they have no belief system, and so therefore they have no reason to be a decent person. What would motivate a person to be decent other than a set of rules? What would motivate them?
Well, that's what's frustrating to me is, in my opinion, Christianity and all other religions were created by humans. We're superstitious. We want to have the answers. So, you know, we'll create answers. Well, we created the morals, in my opinion. We created the morals that are in religion. So if we were capable of doing that, and I'm not religious whatsoever, yet I have a family that I take care of. I'm nice to my neighbors. You know, my thing is, if I'm nice to other people, it makes my life go better.
So where do you get your ethical rules from? If you don't believe in a higher power, you don't believe in a hereafter, why are you so nice to your neighbors and your family? Why aren't you just a complete SOB to them?
If I'm nice to them, they're nice to me, my life is better. I mean, it's logic. It's not even emotional. It's purely the fact that if I help other people out, they help me out, everybody lives better, and it's a better lifestyle.
All right, I can accept that, rules to live by. How about the Ten Commandments? Do you have any problem with any of them?
I mean, other than the ones that are purely, you know, like thou shalt not have any other, you know, gods or whatever. Other than those, no. I mean, thou shalt not kill and stuff, that all makes sense. I mean, I agree we should not be cheating or killing or any of that kind of stuff. I think those are, like I said before, created by humans. I think we...
It doesn't really matter to me whether a person believes that those messages came to Moses from God or Moses wrote them himself to constrain the wild, crazy Jews of his time. Great conversation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, once again, I defy the doctors. I love them. I was in the emergency room for 4 hours last night. Boy, did I see heroes. You know, we lay in our beds, you watch movies, and while we're doing that, the doctors and the nurses and the technicians are saving lives and taking care of injured and scared people. And it's amazing to see how dedicated these people are in an ER room. I have to thank the people at Marin General Hospital for being who they are and doing their work. It's just easy to forget. Nevertheless, they said, well, you should take a few days off from radio, maybe, you know, till your throat is better. I said, hey, doctor, listen to me. My radio is my life. I said, it's very important to me. She said, all right, look, if it's important to you and, you know, feel better. So, I mean, I know I'm straining my voice, and I know I shouldn't be on the radio, but I have been on the radio because I had to talk about freedom of speech. I got such great callers, I could stay on another hour here. Dennis, WABC, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I wanted to let you know, I wanted to remind you that Lenny Bruce was persecuted for his tremendous belief in the First Amendment.
Well, today he'd be banned by Harvard University.
Oh, he sure? Yes, he would.
Yeah, all of the liberal Nazis who claim to love freedom of their own freedom. How does a girl like that get that way? Answer, from having parents who raised her with the Dr. Spock method, where she was never wrong. She was never criticized because it might hurt her feelings. So if she wanted to smear fecal matter on the wall, they would call it fine art.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you know, the best way for the FCC to find out what's being broadcast is to turn on the radio or the TV, rather than sending contractors, essentially agents of the government, into newsrooms, questioning reporters, questioning producers about why did they run a certain story, why did they kill a certain story.
All the stories have been told of kings and days of old, but there's no income.
We are on the dawn of 100 years of darkness under this administration. Many of you know it, many of you don't. Externally, the Islamists are on the march because of Obama's weakness and inability to engage them. In Nigeria, the Islamists invaded a Christian school in Nigeria, tied up the boys, slit their throats, and set their school on fire because they were Christians. Slit the throats of the boys and set their school on fire in Nigeria. That's radical Islam. In Northeast Africa's biggest oil-producing nation. We are doing nothing. In America, the government, instead of focusing all of its vast resources on stopping this scourge of Islamic terrorism, is encouraging a local form of terrorism, which is the suppression of the opposition at all costs. They have clay feet, but boy, are they powerful, because they have no opposition. But for the few people left in the media who dare talk about who they are, what they are, and what they are doing, now you understand why they want to crush us. They've crushed the Republican Party. It doesn't exist anymore. You know that, don't you? You know about old Boehner? All they do is throw him a new bottle of bourbon and help him buy a condo somewhere in Florida. And they dummied him up. Cantor, a stale bagel. You couldn't even give that bagel away. Cantor, the big mouth. You couldn't even sell it. It's not even a day-old bagel. Tell me who is opposing this fascist regime on the most fundamental level. Who's standing up there in the front lines against this fascist regime on the most fundamental level? The very people that they want suppressed. The few internet outlets that dare report their dastardly behavior and policies. The few radio shows that dare talk about what they are actually doing as opposed to giving out government propaganda with a smile face, the few TV outlets, and I include Fox in that, who occasionally will stand up to the tyranny of this regime. There's no one else. Do you understand that we're on the verge, on the brink of 100 years of darkness, if these people are not stopped? Now, they've been stopped. They've been stopped for a while, but not for a long while. So freedom of speech is under attack in America at some of America's worst universities, such as Harvard. Harvard was once an institution of higher learning. With the advent of liberalism as a religion, philosophy, Harvard has become an institution of lower living. And so deviants of all stripes are put on the enter list. It's like Studio 54. The more deviant you are, the more leftist you are, the quicker you are granted entry into the Studio 54 of universities, which is Harvard University. The more upright you are, the more like a Eagle Scout you look like, the less the chance is that you will get into Harvard University and the other so-called Ivy institutions. Do not send your children to these cesspools. If you want your child to get a good education, you'd be better off sending them to a state college than sending them to these perverted cesspools, which will brainwash your child and ruin them for life. I don't understand how people don't know what these schools have become, but I've made my point. They all reject intellectual freedom. This is common among all left-wing activists at institutions of lower learning. Last week, a woman, if you want to call it that, Erin Ching, a so-called sophomore at so-called Swarthmore, took a similar view when she criticized Swarthmore for committing the unforgivable crime of allowing a conservative Christian thinker, Robert George, to debate the throwback on campus, one of the throwbacks on campus. He was invited to debate one of the goon throwbacks that is a regular on the left-wing shows. And she said, what really bothered me is the whole idea is that at a liberal arts college, we need to be hearing a diversity of opinion. She said, I don't think we should be tolerating George's conservative views because that dominant culture embeds these deep inequalities in our society. All crap, all liberal platitudes, a brainwashed moron who in my time would have been cleaning toilets, not invited to Swarthmore. She would have had a brush in her hand and cleaned toilets for the rest of her life because that's all she's fit for, in my opinion. But unfortunately, they're running these universities today. And so, as I say, you've got a government run by them. You've got academia run by them. You've got the media run by them. And the few of us who stand up to these throwback tyrants are now seen as the enemy of the state. And so they try to break into the radio rooms and the newsrooms with thought police. Well, they were stopped now, but they're not stopped for tomorrow. They're not stopped because let me tell you something that you don't know. A couple of years back, when there was talk being bandied about imposing the so-called fairness doctrine, do you know which Republicans joined their Democrat colleagues to try to propose the fairness doctrine? Can anyone listening to this show call this program and give me their names? Because I remember some of them. They were very big in the conservative movement, and they wanted to join the Democrats in banning free speech on the radio with the fairness doctrine. Do you think that John Clink Boehner wants me to criticize him? Do you think Eric the Bagel Cantor wants me to be able to criticize him with sarcasm and satire? And don't forget that sarcasm and satire are what I use in my broadcasts. Primarily sarcasm and satire. They're both very high art forms that have been lost on the average consumer, and it's almost impossible to learn. You need to have been steeped in sarcasm and satire from childhood in order to do it right. It's almost impossible to do right and very easy to do wrongly. There's no England anymore. We know that there are free speech codes in England that have been used in order to suppress free speech. We know in Canada there's no free speech. These once great nations were infected by the salenterates called liberals, the spineless worms that crawl into the body politic and infect it with a virus that is fatal. And that virus is now in America. Obama and Holder are the progenitors of this virus of hate, this virus of absolute control and absolute tyranny. They are hollow men. They have feet of clay. They may look like they're immortal. They may look like they're made of brass. But remember what Churchill said. Never forget what Winston Churchill said. If we let these men succeed in their dire plans, they will drag us into 100 years of darkness. I've got good news for everyone listening to the show. Take a guess which group came out and are demanding the impeachment of Eric Holder. Guess what? A coalition of black pastors announced on Tuesday at the National Press Club in Washington that they're launching a campaign to gather 1 million signatures on a petition calling for the impeachment of Attorney General Eric Holder for violating his oath of office by, quote, trying to coerce states to fall in line with the same-sex marriage agenda. And they are doing it. These are black pastors, the last group on earth that Obama would ever expect to move to impeach his attorney general. Did you hear what I just said to you? It's not white evangelicals. It's black pastors. They've had enough. They've said that political leaders in Washington have not held Holder accountable, and they want him impeached. They said that marriage is an institution that benefits all of society. Therefore, every citizen has an interest in protecting marriage from these brazen attacks. And he went on, and he's urging, I'm quote now, I urge you to bring impeachment against Eric Holder for his reckless attempts to undermine our state's constitutional marriage laws and for the voices and values of millions of voters, the petition says. So there is a movement to impeach Eric Holder, and it's coming from black pastors. Now, that's a tough one for these individuals running America to fight. They can't call them racist, can they? Well, they can do it. Can they call black pastors racist for wanting to impeach Holder? Well, that's a tough one. I don't know what they can call them, but they can't call them racist. Or can they? I'm sure they can twist the law to say that although they're black, they're really not black. That somehow they're really not black because they're not upholding the values of the average African-American. So therefore, you should dismiss their viewpoint. But watch what's happening now. It's starting. They've lost their grip. Look, Holder and Obama have lost their lock grip on the American public. I can see it cracking. I can see it everywhere I turn. I can see it here. I can see it there. Remember, there are very good men and very good women still left in most of the institutions of government. They have not yet purged every institution. It's true that they've purged the military of all combat commanders who would have stood up to them. That's worrisome. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
There are many other stories that I haven't gotten to yet. Let's see, Nation. Los Angeles bishop kept altar boy list from police. Again, attacked the church. This is the biggest problem. Don't talk about the Muslim training camps in America. Talk only about the churches. Stick to the script, you left-wing fanatics, till you wind up with your throats cut and thrown down a well. See, now I'm getting angry. See, now it's turning the other way now. You didn't hear about the Muslims with firearms in training camps around America. Didn't make it to your neck of the woods? It was on the WorldNet Daily site the other day by a very reputable author who I know very well, named Art Moore. Art is a first-class journalist. New terror compound found in heart of Texas. Declassified FBI documents confirm the existence of an Islamic jihadist enclave in Texas that is part of a network in the U.S. identified by the Department of Homeland Security as a terrorist organization. And they list all... Remember we reported on this over 10 years ago that there was one up in the Catskill Mountains and we were called nuts? Well, guess what? They were in the Catskill Mountains and you were nuts if you didn't hear the gunfire. I'm asking, why has Obama's DHS and FBI not closed down these Muslim training camps around America? Don't answer the question because the NSA is listening. 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. What else do we want to talk about? We went over that one pretty quickly. Pennsylvania couple sent to prison for second prayer death. Again, attack the Christians. See? Anything that's negative on Christians or the family makes it to the AP website. Anything that's negative on you-know-who and you-know-what is never seen and the pictures are never shown. The most disturbing video of the day, which is, I'll read you the headline. West Virginia Pizza Hut worker caught urinating in sink, fired, and there's a video of it. That is disgusting. Now, they don't identify the quote, gentleman. I love when they use gentleman. The gentleman who peed in the sink. But if you look at it carefully, you can see that it's one of Obama's future citizens. And, you know, he could use a cultural defense, which is that in his country, that's the way they do it. And he can't read English, where it says Lavos Los Manos. So maybe he thought Lavos Los Manos means something else. He's probably illiterate in Spanish as well as English. You don't realize that most of the immigrants into this country that are illegal can't even read and write Spanish. You don't know that. They all come here to work. Well, this one worked and relieved himself in the sink at Pizza Hut. The company says it has zero tolerance for violations of its operating standards, right? The employee was fired. His name was not released. I'm sure he went to work for the federal government the next minute. The video shows the manager urinating in a sink. It's disgusting in the kitchen. It's unbelievable to me. The restaurant is closed until it is thoroughly cleaned, and there are reassurances of safeguards. You know, I don't want to generalize. About a year ago, I had a Pizza Hut incident. Local, right in the Bay Area. I had a food poisoning that I hadn't had in 10 years. I hadn't had it as bad since Thailand. When I was actually in the third world, but they're importing third world workers. What do you expect to happen? What do you expect to happen? If you bring people into the country, you bring their third world mentality to your country, you think that they're going to come up to your level, or they're going to bring your country down to their level? You want me to get started on this? Okay, yeah, get me to the salad bar next. Tell me how the lettuce is handled. The world's in turmoil, my friends. Thieves are using mafia-like tactics to steal nuts from California farmers, field workers, and truck drivers who say their lives are being threatened as everyone looks to cash on an $8 billion industry. Even that now is? I can't believe that. Look at this. The treasure that's driving crooks nuts. Thieves are using mafia-like tactics to steal nuts from California farmers, field workers, and truck drivers who say their lives are being threatened. I didn't know nuts were so valuable. $8 billion a year industry, but they're robbing nuts? What are they, like squirrels in human bodies? California's nut industry brings crooks out of the woodwork. What is this? Who's behind this? Farmers like Barrett Blaine say some growers have had their lives threatened. My best friend had a shotgun pulled on him while he went to confront some people. It's generally hit the small family farmers hit the hardest. Their entire crop, blah, blah, blah. Last year in the Central Valley, thieves drove off with more than 500 grand in almonds, walnuts, and pistachios. So who's doing this? I can pretty much guess. They won't say because it'll bring up the issue of illegal aliens again. See, this is what goes on in their country. Now, you expected the illegal aliens to come up to your level. You never thought they'd bring it down to their level, right? Food quality would go down. Criminality would go up. Health values would go down. The school system would collapse. The hospitals would collapse. Oh, no, you're a racist for saying what's reality. Authorities are asking for farmers to be vigilant. You hear? Be vigilant. That's really good. Our job is, how could they be robbed? They're robbing nuts? A truckload containing the typical 21 tons would be worth approximately $300,000. Oh, they steal the truck already after it's loaded up. They don't actually go pick the nuts, do they? They're stealing an entire truck by armed assailants. California is the most mismanaged state in the land. The country, the state is in turmoil. The roads are broken. The people are taxed to death. Crime is out of control, and everyone says it's wonderful now. Okay, don't call on a nut thing. What are you going to say about that? 855-400-72. If I have to open one more website about one of the sluts' wardrobe malfunctions, I think I'm going to burn my computer. Has the New York Post fallen to such a low level that every day they must show another piece of white trash slut with a wardrobe malfunction? Is that the best that Murdoch can do? Every day, the same thing. Wardrobe malfunction. Oh, look at that. How exciting. It's a woman's body. Wow, Murdoch. You're really hitting a new high in media. Who took over that newspaper? Every day, wardrobe malfunction. Another white trash garbage. Drug addict, nymphomaniac slut. And let something hang out of a shirt. I was supposed to fall, drop dead, and buy the newspaper. Ooh, look at it. Ooh. And bring it home now. Maybe have a family discussion over it. What a country. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The question today is about the stalking horses of the ever-powerful centralized government that we are living under. We all feel that the stalking horse of this, the stalking horse of that, is coming from the stable run by Obama, the centralized, powerful, overbearing, corrupt, if you want to call it that. Some would consider it a wonderful government. Others would say enough is enough. And that's what we're talking about, cutting the military. Hegel wants to cut the military. Obama wants to put police in the newsrooms. A writer at Harvard, a once great university that's descended from an institution of higher learning to an institution of lower living, has become a cesspool. Harvard has become a cesspool on almost every level. A writer at Harvard, a senior at Harvard and a columnist for the Harvard Crimson, wrote that free speech threatens liberalism and must be destroyed. I'm not making it up. It came out in the Daily Caller. And she said that free speech at Harvard should be abolished and any professor with dissenting views should be fired because radical leftism is the only permissible political philosophy. And the First Amendment, to her, is a barrier preventing modern colleges from fulfilling their proper role as indoctrination camps. Her name is Sandra Korn, K-O-R-N. Senior at Harvard, I wonder how she got in, columnist for the Harvard Crimson. She unambiguously insisted in a recent column that the university should stop guaranteeing professors and students the right to hold controversial views and pursue research that challenges liberalism. Listen to what this psychotic bag of garbage wrote. If our university community opposes racism, sexism, and heterosexism, why should we put up with research that counters our goals, asked Ms. Korn in her column. Here we have a radical feminist named Sandra Korn. God only knows what parents she had. What a blasphemy she is to these parents, in my opinion. She's a senior at Harvard, a columnist for the Harvard Crimson, and she writes that free speech threatens liberalism and must be destroyed. She also is happy that they fired a Harvard summer school instructor who was dismissed because of his anti-Islamist views. She's happy with that. How long have I told you that feminists, radical feminists, who you would think would be the natural enemy of Islamists, are actually their greatest ally? How long have I told you that the radical homosexual community, which should be the natural enemy of Islamism, is actually their greatest friend in America? You haven't been able to put the pieces together. You can't follow the dots, but I can. So they reject intellectual freedom. But this is not limited to this throwback. Again, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Two topics have America talking. One is Obama's wishes to slash the military in size to that before levels before World War II. Let me repeat that. In case you missed it, your leader, at a time when China's on the move building aircraft carriers, building spy satellites to defeat us with laser weaponry in space, with Russia getting ready to take what they consider to be part of their sphere of influence back, with Al-Qaeda more empowered than in a long time, he wants to scrap a class of Air Force attack jets, which can knock out enemy tanks. But worse than that, he wants to drop the standing army to 440,000 troops over the next several years. So the question is, why? Now, on the face of it, they say, well, we can't afford it. I agree with them. He can't afford admirals who do nothing and generals who do nothing but sit and scheme how to get contracts and retirement income when they retire after steering contracts for projects we don't need. Military contractors, no doubt, are very unhappy with this. Beltway insiders are very unhappy with this. Well, I'm very unhappy with it, and I'm not a military contractor, and I'm not a Beltway insider. A pox upon all the houses. Then we have the issue of putting police into the newsrooms. If you think that's harsh, you should be aware of the fact that it's not harsh. What that FCC commissioner tried to do was a crime against our Constitution and a crime against the American people. And as far as I'm concerned, she should be indicted. I don't care. I don't care who she is. I don't care that Representative Clyburn was a father. It doesn't matter to me. If a foreign agent had come into this country and gotten put onto the FCC, that foreign agent couldn't have done worse than what she did in trying to put police into the newsrooms, called FCC monitors. The questions would shock you that they wanted to impose upon those in the newsrooms and those in the radio rooms. Why would she want to do this? It's to control the content. It's to make certain that the Obama governing philosophy is prevalent on radio shows and in the few outlets that are currently independent-minded. That means every internet site would have to answer to these communists. These evil communists. Now, if Yanukovych of the Ukraine, who just fled to Russia for fear of the wrath of the masses, were ever to have tried to put policemen into the newsrooms, you think you'd hear about it? Well, sure you'd hear about it. But you mean because it happens in America and it's because of a person of color, you can't ask the question? You mean he's above the law? He's a sacred cow? Is that the issue now? He's a sacred cow? No, he's a Trojan horse, not a sacred cow. You want to use an animal analogy? Use Trojan horse, not sacred cow. To me, Obama's a Trojan horse, not a sacred cow. Does that work for you? It was another story. I saw CNN run a story that hit a new low. It was about an illegal alien from Guatemala who stabbed his wife to death. A common wife, whatever it means, who knows. Woman. There's no wife anymore. He stabs his wife to death, and now they're going to sue the New York Police Department because they didn't translate her request into English for review, her domestic abuse report. So instead of blaming the illegal alien husband who didn't belong here to begin with, and the woman who got stabbed to death who didn't belong here to begin with, they're blaming the NYPD because they didn't translate her domestic abuse complaint into Spanish. You hear? A group that has a lawsuit pending against NYPD on behalf of six other Latina women, says the case of Deezy Garcia and her young daughters is far from unique in New York. Oh, they got six other Latina women who don't belong here to begin with. They're all illegal aliens. But how they learn to sue if they're not citizens? How is that possible? How can a non-citizen sue a police department for the fact that their husband beat them up? How? I'll tell you how. We'll play a little tape for you, then you'll figure out how. Do we have the tape of the lawyer? Here, let's play the lawyer for one of these women. Let's hear it right now.
I would say that this is not the first time something like this has happened. 2 months before Garcia was killed, the Violence Intervention Program filed a lawsuit against the city of New York on behalf of six other Hispanic domestic violence victims who claim they, too, were denied adequate translation services. Now, that case is still pending, but in Daisy Garcia's case, the NYPD said that...
Cut it off here. This is beyond the worst imaginable crime against our sensibilities as a society. Instead of saying that the husband, who didn't belong here, and he's only here because Obama let him in under the false asylum or looking the other way, they're blaming the NYPD because he stabbed his wife to death? So the lawyer, if I was in charge, I would disbar the lawyer and deport him for bringing a case like this. I'd throw him out of the country. Oh, you ought to be glad I'm only a talk show host and I have no power. Could I clean this country up? I would do it by executive order. I'd say, okay, come before me, domestic violence unit. What are you? Who are you? You're suing on behalf of an illegal alien who stabbed his wife to death, and you're telling me the NYPD should have stopped him? What would have happened? What would have happened? I'm going to ask you this question, Mr. Lawyer. If they had intervened prior to him stabbing her, would you have sued the NYPD for intervening, calling it racism? That they had no right to stop him before he killed his wife? You learned good, didn't you? Who taught you this? What professor at NYU taught you this trick, Mr. Lawyer? I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm deporting you today and all your assets and your whole family. Next case, bam, there goes the hammer. Now bring the next one before me. It's executive order. I have a pen, I have a piece of paper. Now get the heck out of my courtroom, you piece of garbage, you. Send them out of here. Put them on a deportation bus. That would be case number one on the docket on Monday. So, but thank God I'm only a talk show host because I have no power, as you understand. We have officials who have the interests of America at heart in positions of power, and you got to understand they're looking out for you. They're looking out for you from top to bottom, from the military to the courtroom, to the schoolroom, to the hospital. They're looking out for you. Okay. Look at the headline. Brazil and Europe plan an undersea cable to skirt U.S. spying. That's how much they love Obama, the great savior. See, you were told that when a man of color became president, we'd have a better world, a more transparent world, a more honorable world, a safer world, a more peaceful world. Isn't it a shock that you don't? Isn't it a shock that Brazil itself wants to skirt U.S. spying, so they're going to build a new undersea cable that the vermin in our NSA can't snoop into? Can you imagine you're living in an America where every time you make a phone call now, I don't know a person, by the way, who doesn't assume the government's not listening to them. Everyone I talk to says, I can't say this. In America, under this wonderful... wonderful, good liberal constitutional lawyer, Obama. Everyone's afraid to say what they want to say on a telephone now. Think about it. Think about how far we've fallen. If we lived in the same country, he would have been impeached for this alone. This alone! End the story! Have an impeachment hearing! You say, well, it couldn't happen. What do you mean it can't happen? Why can't it happen? Just for the NSA spying scandal. Say, well, there's not enough time. Oh, there's not enough time? 1,000 days is a very long time. And we get to the bottom of what else he's doing, and it would put his entire agenda on ice. It would stop the left wing in its tracks. But we don't have an opposition party. Fill out the form. Don't leave any money on the table. Fill out those forms. Don't leave any money on the table, said Michelle Obama when she was telling the students to sign up for more freebies. Fill out those forms. Don't leave any money on the table, like it's her money. Her money! Her money. Her money she didn't want to leave on the table. Wow. What fun it would be to have a tribunal call an impeachment hearing where people would be forced to testify about who they spied on, why they spied on innocent Americans, what they did with the data, who authorized it, when was it authorized, how high did it go? Wow, would that be nice to see such a people's tribunal somewhere in Congress. But that ain't happening in your lifetime. This is worse than the Ukraine right now, what we have here. The corruption is worse than in the Ukraine. The corruption, the oppression is worse than it was in the Ukraine. But you don't know that. Because you see, you have the freedom that you've always wanted. You have the freedom to watch one salacious television program over another salacious television program. Look how free you are. You can tune into 20 channels of pornography right now, any moment. Isn't that freedom? Or you can go to a department store and you can choose a blue shirt or a green shirt or a red shirt. You can be gay. You can be straight. Isn't that freedom? You can smoke marijuana, or you can get drugs from a doctor that are far more dangerous than marijuana in a minute just by making up an illness. Isn't that freedom? Look at the freedom you have. Look at the cars you can choose. You can choose a green car, red car, white car, black car, big car, small car. Your car, his car, my car. You can buy it for a small fee. Isn't that freedom? Look at the vacations you can have. Why, you can go to one hotel or another hotel. You can get drunk or not get drunk. You can slide down a slide. You can go on a cruise ship and watch another thousand numbskulls like you walking around with their eyes glazed over like cattle, not knowing what to do for the next second. Is that not freedom? Is that what your ancestors fought for? So you can go on a cruise with your children and eat like a pig and drink like a moron at night in the bar? Is that not freedom? Look at the freedom you have. You can raise your children any way you want. You can give them Adderall or Ritalin, and the pediatricians will now help you prescribe speed for your child. Isn't that a wonderful freedom that you now have in America? So why would you want to worry about a thing like putting police in a newsroom or spying on innocent Americans, right, or cutting the military? What does it mean to you if you have all those freedoms? I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All the stories have been told of kings and days of old, but there's no England now.
It is true.
All the wars.
It is true that there's no England anymore, and soon there will be no America anymore, as the animals of the left continue to try and take away free speech. I want to read to you from Winston Churchill. He said, "We're confronted with another theme. It is not a new theme. It leaps out upon us from the Dark Ages. Racial persecution, religious intolerance, deprivation of free speech, the conception of the citizen as a mere soulless fraction of the state." And then he goes on. And I want you to hear this very carefully, those of you who are communists or socialists or leftists. You know in your heart that what I'm about to read to you is true. Churchill warned the world, and here's what he said. "Like the communists, the Nazis tolerate no opinion but their own. Like the communists, they feed on hatred. Like the communists, they must seek from time to time and always at shorter intervals a new target, a new prize, a new victim. The dictator in all his pride is held in the grip of his party machine. He can go forward, he cannot go back. He must blood his hounds and show them sport, or else, like Actaeon of old, be devoured by them. All strong without, he is all weak within. As Byron wrote 100 years ago, these pagod things of saber sway with fronts of brass and feet of clay." That's where the phrase feet of clay comes from. Obama is that dictator. Obama is that man who looks like brass at front, but is made of feet of clay. He's all strong without, with his armies, with his minions, with his attacks upon freedoms, but he is weak within. But don't underestimate him. Listen to what Churchill warned you. "No one must underrate the power and efficiency of a totalitarian state, where the whole population of a great country, amiable, good-hearted, peace-loving people, are gripped by the neck and by the hair, by a communist or a Nazi tyranny, for they are the same things spelt in different ways." Did you hear what he just said? Those of you who think you're good because you're communist or socialist, you are the Nazi slime that we defeated in World War II, and you will be defeated again. You will be defeated again. The American people are a good people. They understand that you're Nazi slime. You may call yourself progressives. You may call yourself socialists. You're Nazi slime, and you're not going to win. You're going to lose. And he goes on, and he said, "Gripped by the neck, by the hair, or by a communist or a Nazi tyranny, for they are the same things, spelt in different ways, the rulers for the time being can exercise a power for the purposes of domination before which the ordinary free parliamentary societies are at a grievous practical disadvantage." We have to recognize this. And then on top of all comes this wonderful mastery of the air, and he goes on and talk about air power. And we'll stop right there. If it was not for one commissioner who stood up to that despicable creature put into the FCC by her despicable father in order to crush free speech, we would be living in a tyranny. That's where they were going.
Savage.